Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harvard Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Well, it's June, and June is LGBTQ Pride Month. Back in 2000, President Clinton gave federal recognition to Pride Month, declaring June to be Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. Then in 2009, President Obama expanded Pride Month to include Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Month. And then in 2022, Joe Biden expanded the celebration even further to include the queer and intersex communities. And he renamed the month Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, and Intersex Pride Month. So, do you see a progressive normalization of sexual deviance? And also notice that over the past 30 years, all this is coming from Democrat presidents, no Republican presidents. And there is an ideological reason for this, because of what each party bases morality upon. Now, in this program, my goal is to explain the reason people today support LGBTQ and how to challenge that support. I've addressed these foundational principles many times in my program, but as Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, to write the same thing again is no trouble to me, but it's a safeguard for you. But before we address the ideology behind LGBTQ, let's look at some news stories that demonstrate how entrenched this philosophy is in the American public. LGBTQ supporters are vehement in their support, even on insisting on men and women's sports, regardless of biological reality. There's a reason these people insist on putting a person's decision about his or her gender above every other decision. The first story, on Sunday, June 28th in New York City, there will be the 57th Pride Parade, along with the street fair. The theme this year is For All of Us. And there are Pride parades and events also scheduled separately in all of the five boroughs in New York City and on New York City college campuses. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. There are also over 100 Pride parades in other cities around the world. And we must ask why. Why is there such a passion to promote this lifestyle in violation of God's law? Even in Israel, there's going to be a massive Pride parade this year in Tel Aviv. And this year, there's also going to be a four-day Pride event at the Dead Sea. And they're calling it Pride Land. Rather than the Promised Land, they're referring to Israel as Pride Land. And it's to be an Israeli version of the pagan Burning Man event that takes place in Nevada. But if you recall, the very place these people are choosing to celebrate their homosexuality, the Dead Sea, was the location of the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, whom the Lord judged for their LGBTQ. Deuteronomy 29:23, all its land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive, and no grass grows in it. Like the overthrowing of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. And that Deuteronomy 29 text is a warning to Israel that if anyone in Israel behaves as the Sodomites, the same thing's going to happen to Israel. The Israelites were supposed to look at the Dead Sea as a warning from God. But modern Israelis, like the Baal worshippers in ancient Israel, love their LGBTQ so much that they're challenging God to his face. Remember back on October 7th of 2023, young Israelis were celebrating another pagan copy of the Burning Man Festival, which was called the Supernova Festival, which took place in the Negev Desert. Hamas attacked, and 12,000 Jews were murdered, and 250 were taken captive. But now the creators of that same event from back in October of 2023 are now putting on this event at the Dead Sea called Pride Land. And it's billed as, quote, the largest LGBTQ plus festival in Middle East history. The four-day event transforms the Judean desert into a pride city, featuring 15 hotels, beach complexes, and nonstop performances. Now, the producers behind this event have not learned their lesson because they're unbelievers. They're Ephesians chapter 2, dead in their trespasses and sins. They walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in sons of disobedience. And it's events like this in Israel that are contributing to this new anti-Israeli movement within the evangelical church. But that's a discussion for another time. Now, another major story is that the U.S. Supreme Court is about to rule on two transgender sport cases. Plaintiffs have brought suit against certain states that prohibit transgenders in women's sports, or rather men being allowed to participate in women's sports. West Virginia versus BPJ involves a challenge to West Virginia's Save Women's Sports Act, which bars transgenders from participating in female public school sports. And the second case is Little versus Heacock, which is a challenge to Idaho's Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Now, as Providence would have it, while the Supreme Court is deciding this case, the trans athlete at the center of the West Virginia case, Becky Pepper Jackson, just won the state's women's championship for track and field. Yet the ACLU argued before the Supreme Court that men and women's sports have no competitive advantage, which is a lie that's easily refuted. So if the Supreme Court rules in favor of these trans athletes, they will be placing their ideology above the law of nature and nature's God. However, with the conservative majority on the Supreme Court, everyone is expecting the court to uphold these state laws prohibiting boys and girls sports. However, the court will only be deferring to the states. They will not be overturning the 21 Democrat-led states that allow for transgenders in public school sports. And these blue states are adamant on demanding that boys should be able to play in girls sports if these boys personally identify as girls. Recently, a trans athlete in California, Hernandez, who was at the center of the transgenders and women's sports controversy in California, advanced in a jumping event, earning top place. And Tom Steyer, candidate for governor of California, put out a video with Hernandez where he tells her that he's so proud of what she's doing. And again, I'm going to tease you with this question. Why are people and politicians on the left so invested in supporting boys and girls sports and in this gender choice ideology, even when it defies biological reality and it's unfair to the girls? There must be something very important to them ideologically, some principle that must be defended at all costs. Well, in other news, the New Jersey legislature put out another resolution supporting Pride Month in 2026, and it reads, whereas New Jersey is committed to embracing the value and dignity of each person, whereas individuals who are lesbian, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, and non-binary LGBTQ+, continue to make valuable contributions to every aspect of life in New Jersey, and whereas Pride Month was first formally recognized by the federal government in 1999 by President Clinton, and then in 2009 by Barack Obama, and then in 2023 by President Biden, and whereas June has long been celebrated in many places worldwide as LGBTQ plus Pride Month in recognition of the gains in LGBTQ plus equality, be it resolved by the Senate and the General Assembly of the State of New Jersey, this joint resolution designates June 2026 as LGBTQ plus Pride Month in New Jersey in recognition of the achievements, contributions, struggles, and humanity of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, and non-binary, and LGBTQ+ individuals, public officials, and the citizens of the state are respectfully urged to commemorate LGBTQ+ Pride Month, unquote. Now, in any other age, this would be absurd, but not today. Why? Here are some other stories. State Department officials were questioning why the Biden administration gave out grants to make maps more queer. Here's another story. A father in Iceland lost custody of his son because he wouldn't let him take drugs to transition into a female. The legal system in Europe buys fully into the ideology that gender should be a choice. Also, the American Psychological Association confirmed that it will continue to support treatment for minors seeking gender-affirming care, hormone blockers, and reassignment surgery in alignment with their 2024 policy statement and in condemning states that ban child sex change. Here's another story. Home Depot, of all places, partners with and supports the Human Rights Campaign and their transgender activism. Here's a story from Minnesota. Lee Fink, a Minnesota representative and a transgender, spoke out against a bill that was to prohibit educators from using pornography in the curriculum. He said it could prevent LGBTQ children from receiving queer inclusive sex education. That's bizarre. Also, a student at the University of Oklahoma received a zero after quoting the Bible in her essay that she was required to write a critique of an article about gender stereotypes in children. Here's another story. The Jefferson County Public School District in Colorado has put 61 boys on girls' sports teams and is refusing to comply with Trump's Justice Department's ruling concerning their violation of Title 11. Well, this just shows how vested these educators are in queer ideology. The NEA, the largest teachers organization in America, publicly promotes transgenderism. In Canada, a Christian teacher was fined $750,000 for refusing to say that there are more than two genders. And this story, a leftist judge in California is requiring the San Diego Children's Hospital to continue providing gender transition for children, even though President Trump's executive order would pull their federal funding. So I have hundreds of other articles that I could share that demonstrate that there's a significant number in the American public, even a majority, that are entrenched and unwavering in their advocacy for transgenderism and queer theory. And they're no longer a subculture. They're often mainstream. And this is being taught in our universities as the new morality and the new religion. What is also notable is that a recent Gallup poll found that support for legal same-sex marriage dropped to 65%, down 6 points from the 22-23 peak. And support for changing one's gender has dropped from 46% down to 38%. But still, you know, 65% of the public supports LGBTQ in some form or another. But there has been a slight drop in the support, or at least now some people are questioning the full LGBTQ narrative. And I attribute most of this slight change in public opinion to the influence of the White House. The values coming from our leaders definitely have an effect on the entire country, as in the case of the legalization of same-sex marriage under President Obama. That fundamentally did change America and created a whole new immoral spirit in the nation. But President Trump has also moved the Overton window in putting forth executive orders, such as this one, entitled Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports. Quote, by the authority vested in me as president and by the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, and to protect opportunities for women and girls to compete in safe and fair sports, I hereby order, it's the policy of the United States to rescind all funds from educational programs that deprive women and girls of fair athletic opportunities, which result in the endangerment, humiliation, and the silencing of women and girls and depriving them of privacy. It shall also be the policy of the United States to oppose male competitive participation in women's sports more broadly as a matter of safety, fairness, dignity, and truth. So notice the difference between President Trump's resolution versus the agenda of the progressive left. What's going on here? Why the difference? So there are really two groups in America. Those that base their morals on their own personal desires and freedoms, and those that base their morals on the law of nature and nature's God, both God's written and his natural revelation. This is a belief in higher natural law, a law that's above us, a law that's above any personal desires we might have. Those who believe in God's natural law are theists, not just believing that there is a God, because even the devil believes in God, but they are theists who believe they must submit to the higher law of God. Now, there is a third group in America who claim that they're following God's natural law, but God's law affirms people and supports whatever sexual behavior they want to engage in. But this group is really part of that first secular humanist group that judges morals based upon personal desire. And this religious leftist group would include, you know, leftist evangelicals and religious liberals, you know, such as that Senate candidate down in Texas, James Tallarico, who claims to be a Christian, but says that Christians are getting God all wrong. That God actually affirms LGBTQ and God affirms abortion because God is pro-humanity. You know, Tallarico even quotes from the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, the final verse, quote, Simon Peter said to them, let Mary leave us, for women are not worthy of life. Jesus said, I myself shall lead her in order to make her male, so that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every woman who will make herself a male will enter the kingdom of heaven. Gospel of Thomas, unquote. First century Gnosticism considered gender differences oppression, and the Gnostics believed that the true God would not require gender norms. So also in modern Gnosticism. But I digress. That's false religion. But this false version of God has been around for quite some time, as in ancient Baal worship. There is too much cognitive dissonance to completely deny the existence of God. So in order to maintain one's sin and still have God, God is just redefined. It's actually a position that worships Satan as God. But that unholy God position is easily refuted. So there's really just two basic positions. First, you either base your morals on yourself and your feelings, and this is what is being called today progressive values. As a lot of politicians are now claiming they support progressive values. Or second, you base your morals on God's revelation, biblical Christian values. And that's the key difference. And the reason why so many people adamantly support LGBTQ is because they base their morals on their own desires and their own desire for freedom. And supporters of LGBTQ are so adamant in their support, even if they're personally not LGBTQ, because they hate moral constraints and they want freedom to do as they will. And that's why they march with the LGBTQ crowd. And these politicians support LGBTQ because they too want people to have moral freedom. They believe personal desire and choice should be the number one value. And if there is a God, he certainly must support our desires, Otherwise, he would be an unjust and unfair God. When Clinton, Obama, and Biden issued their Pride Month resolutions, they all based their moral opinion on, quote, "Americans have strived to make real the ideals of equality and freedom so eloquently expressed in our Declaration of Independence and Constitution. We now have a rare opportunity to enter a new century and a new millennium as one country, living those principles, recognizing our common values, and building on our shared strength." So notice that for the left, American freedom is now redefined as freedom to sin, freedom to break God's law, freedom from the holy God, rather than the original American motto, "Our liberty is to be in law." What is happening is that humanism is being fully applied in our day, that man is to be his own God, and man is to be his own source of truth. And this war against God is coming into its fullness. And the reason why the LGBTQ movement has won in America was not because they had special methods or they had a clever strategy, but the foundations for morals in America was already a function of human desire. That's why Americans were holding to cultural mores, not because of God, but because of tradition. So accepting the moral freedom of LGBTQ came quite easy. And as time progresses and our culture continues to erode, it's only those who hold to a Christian worldview, the Christians, who will be opposed to LGBTQ and abortion. Because it's only a God-centered moral compass that brings someone to that worldview. And in the end, only Christians will be standing against the spirit of this age. Now, as far as outreach, confronting and challenging this error, Titus chapter 1, refuting the false teachers who must be silenced, the first step is to get people to see that the basis for their morals is themselves and their own desires. If you can accomplish that in a discussion, you have achieved a major victory. Don't let opponents suck you into arguments about the rightness or wrongness of certain policies, abortion, transgenderism, communism. Instead, lay the axe to the root of the tree and simply ask people and discuss with people the basis for their moral choices. How do they know they're right? And we find a precedent for this in Scripture. The Jews asked Jesus, "By what authority does he do these things?" And Jesus would question their authority. And the real debate or controversy is over what is your source of truth. The reason the left supports LGBTQ is because they believe truth is a function of human will and desire. But one thing to bear in mind, people do not want the basis for their morals exposed. The politicians and political writers and pundits never discuss the real reason people support or do not support LGBTQ. They know it's because these people base their morals on either their human desires or the word of God, but they don't want to go there. Everyone wants to keep that fact hidden. It's almost assumed that people's opinions are valid because it's their own opinions and it's their own feelings. But don't let people get away with that unspoken assumption. So let's talk a little bit here about the Socratic method, which I find a basis for in biblical truth. Socrates, the Greek philosopher from the 5th century BC, was a great questioner. Now, there are a number of approaches to the Socratic method, but I like the 7-question approach. And the first question is to define your terms. Define your opponent's position. Ask your opponent, what do you mean by that? What exactly is your position? That everyone should be able to choose their gender, that there is no biological basis for gender, or that the quality of the mother's life is more important than sparing the life of the child. And even in asking that question, people will squirm and they will not want to answer because they have never really had to admit to themselves their true position and the logical ramifications. Once you make someone define their meaning, they may see their emptiness. The second question is, how do you know your position is true? Or what is the basis for your moral beliefs? And people immediately assume that if they feel a certain way about something, it must be true, but that assumption needs to be challenged. Now, in other generations, that assumption was not there. In other generations, truth was something outside of oneself. But today, it's assumed that truth comes from within yourself, and this is the result of humanism and education. But recognize that people will claim authority without any foundation, and confidence is not evidence, and certainty is not truth. Now, this second question is enough to draw people's attention to the fact that they're sinners, and that our truth is not necessarily truth, and that we need to come to God for truth. And with this question, we can explain to people that there are two groups of people in the world, those who base morality on their own feelings versus those who base morality on God's revelation, regardless of how it makes them feel. But real quick, there are five more questions that you can also work into your discussion depending on the circumstances. Questions such as, where did you learn your position? Question the source. Question number four, what follows if you're right? What outcomes are you looking for? A utopian world? Is personal autonomy your final goal? Question number five, is your position always true? This is a question in regard to exceptions. Is this just a matter of situation ethics, where one changes one's values based upon what works for you? And there's question number six, could there be another way of seeing this? In that question, you're really asking, what if other people are right and you're wrong? And finally, question number seven, why does this matter? Or why does this matter to you? And here you get at the heart of the beef people have against God. And really, if you're going to be dead someday, and we're all just experiencing one big evolutionary mistake, why even bother protesting? Nothing matters at all. So that's the Socratic method. And in questioning people's authority, you will open up doors that the powers of darkness don't want opened. The devil never wants people to truly ask why. He doesn't want people to really understand what they believe and why they believe it. He never told Eve in the temptation that her choice was a declaration of self-will over God's will. He just said, you're just going to like what you eat. And there's a lesson to be found in the fact that the people of Athens put Socrates on trial and sentenced him to death for asking too many questions. He was charged with impiety, failing to acknowledge the state gods, and he was charged with encouraging young people to question the culture. What Socrates did by asking people what is the basis for their moral authority was to expose the ignorance in the pagan world. Because without God's revelation, truth cannot be determined. Nobody should be able to make truth claims. And I know another man who was put to death for asking too many questions, Jesus, the Son of God. Notice that during the Passion Week, during the day of questioning, because Jesus was turning their questions back on them, the text says in Matthew 22:46, no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. Why? Well, because people didn't want the truth exposed as to what they believe and why they believe it. Nothing will change in America until the public changes its basis for determining truth, which is another way of saying nothing will change in America until people believe and obey God's word rather than themselves. So thanks for listening. Stand firm in the word, and may Jesus Christ reign.